Milk is the first promise a body makes. A woman does not decide to produce it. Her body begins because a child exists. And what it makes is meant for that child, and for no one else. It changes as the child grows, so that what is given at 6 weeks is not what was given at 6 days. It is the only food on earth made to order for a single customer. It answers the child, too. The reflex that releases the milk can be offset by the sound of a baby crying. A woman across a room hears her child and feels her own body reply. Nothing else a person has ever given works like that. Southern Oregon in January is a country of standing water. The rain comes off the Pacific and hangs in the Coast Range, and the Douglas fir goes black with it. The light gets to a gray noon and gives up, and the towns keep their porch lights burning at 2 in the afternoon. Glendale sits in one of those draws, 4/10 of a square mile, with 800 and some people in it. Douglas County ran on timber, and when the mills closed, the towns around them were left standing over an economy that had gone out from under them. Roughly 1 in 4 residents live in poverty. Poverty of that kind narrows the list of things a person has left to sell. The assets that remains are ones a person is carrying. And by 2014, there was a market for those, reachable from any room with a laptop. In November of 2014, a young couple moved up from California into a rented place on Willis Avenue with their 2-year-old son. In December, a second son was born at home. They named him Data Hancock. Amanda Hancock was 21 years old in the winter of 2015. Stephen Williams Jr. was 26. They had come north from Santa Rosa, California, where both had been students at the junior college, and neither had finished. A man named Nathan Feldhorn told a campus reporter he had last seen them in September, staying near the downtown fairground in a garage he understood to belong to Hancock's mother. He described the place as a shanty and said it reeked of cigarette smoke. Two young people in a borrowed garage with a toddler and a pregnancy is not a crime, and thousands of households in the Pacific Northwest were in some version of it that autumn. The move to Glendale was the move people in that position often make. Rent is cheaper in a timber town that lost its timber, and Hancock had family in the region. They drove north up Interstate 5, 6 hours out of the California wine country and into the Oregon rain, and took a house on the 800 block of Willis Avenue. Willis is a short residential street, a few blocks off the freeway, and the nearest hospital is a half hour north to Roseburg over Wet Road. Williams had 2 other young children with another woman. The 2-year-old came with them, and the baby was due in weeks. What is known about their income is what they later told detectives, which was that they both worked in the online porn industry. Hancock performed on camera, subscribers paid to watch, and that payment was the household's money. The specific product, in the reporting and the court file, was her lactation, which meant that the pregnancy and then the birth were themselves the household economy.
I know when you were contacted, I think it was January 22nd, you spoke with Detective Brigo and Deputy Swin, and
on the day of that data bus?
Yeah, and the medical examiner, Deputy King. So they kind of, I guess, filled me in on some of the details, but so let's just, I just want to kind of get up to speed on everything, okay? So you guys are originally from California, right?
Yes, originally.
And so how long have you lived here?
We moved here November 14th. Of 2014.
Okay.
So only about 4 months.
Okay, and when y'all moved up here, where did you move to?
We moved to the house. It is 857 Willis Avenue in Glendale, Oregon.
Okay. And when you moved here, who all moved here?
It was me, Steven, and our son.
So talk a little bit about yours and Steven, right? Mm-hmm. But he goes by Michael, correct? Okay. So talk a little bit about yours and Michael's business that you have.
Okay, this is one thing that I have been wanting to explain, because his brother, when he said that we throw adult parties, that was something he was saying to make himself feel better, because he has no job.
Okay.
We pay for everything inside the house. He has no pull it for anything except for food stamps now that he got that to move back.
Okay.
What we used to do in California, we started to put together a production company for any and all entertainment. This was revolved around like EDM music festivals, dancing teams, and really anything that people have passions for. We have been working on adult campsites for a while since I turned 19. I've been working on the campsite. And that was a separate venture from our production company. And we had started getting ideas to throw adult parties. We looked up all the laws and what steps to take. And we threw a couple inside of hotels, but then we held back on that because we had more responsibilities to take care of with our kids than our normal job and bills. But right now, the only job that we work is online as cam models.
Camming is legal work between consenting adults, and monetizing her own body is not what put her in front of a jury. Nothing that happened to Data Hancock happened on camera. He was not photographed, not filmed, not used. There is a photograph from before any of it. A local photographer who asked not to be named had done shoots with both of them. In one, Hancock stands in a park outside Santa Rosa, several months pregnant with Data. Photographed naked among the trees. It sits in the same file as everything that came after. Data Hancock was born in early December of 2014, without a doctor having seen his mother during the pregnancy. That comes from the probable cause affidavit. Both parents admitted there had been no prenatal care, and that they had gone to no appointments after the boy was born. In 7 weeks of life, he was never weighed by anyone whose job it was to weigh him, never measured, never examined, never seen by a nurse or a pediatrician or a public health worker.
Kind of dumb in this area, I guess. So when you say adult parties, what do you mean by that?
The few parties that we threw in California, one was a platonic naked tea party where six or seven adults went into a hotel. We all got naked, drank tea together, and watched movies. And that was that. And then there was another party that I organized, but I didn't show up to. What it was for, a girl that I had met. She wanted to be gangbang, so I organized the event for it and helped her find suitable guys that were trustworthy. But really, I just would organize things for people to go to, so then that way they felt safe and there was other people around. Because in the fetish lifestyle, people are very open and it's not safe if you don't know what you're doing.
Sure. So now you said you guys just strictly kind of do an online model. What does that consist of?
Well, anything that I'm not a parent for, like if it has to do with me taking a shower, then I'll turn on the camera and take a shower on camera. If it has to do with me melting myself into a bottle, then I'll melt myself in a bottle. If it has to do with me just feeling like chatting with people, then that's what I do. It really just depends on our mood and what we feel like doing that day.
So do y'all venture into sex on movies or online?
From time to time, it's not like our usual thing. We always have it offered, but usually when we do that, it's because we want to, not because somebody paid us. People don't usually pay for the sexual stuff because there's other models that do that, and they're better at it. I'm better at the make your life go really well and you hang out with me and just you happen to see boobs and other things along the way because I felt like it.
So how do you get paid for this?
I get paid through a LLC called Crosstown Services, through the main site that I work. It's basically a tip-based job. People buy tokens on the site that I work. The site takes a certain amount out, and then the model gets whatever's left over of the remaining. And then they can cash out, and every 2 weeks they get a check.
So I guess on average, I guess on a 2 weeks basis, what is an average payout for you guys?
An average payout is around 300 to 400.
Okay. About how many shows do you do a day?
It goes back and forth. Sometimes I won't even work for a full-on week out of the pay period, and I'll still make that much. It really depends, because sometimes I'm on for hours and I don't make anything, and then sometimes I log on and all of a sudden I've made $100 and I haven't even said hello. Like, it really just depends.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it for 2 years.
Yes.
He's been doing it off and on. I say it's my job because he doesn't do it as often. He has an account. He has the possibility to, but I'm usually the more work inclined, and he's more the parent inclined to go do those type of things.
So what are some of the things that you offer that people would pay for?
I offer things like me getting naked. I offer bondage if they want it, which they never do. I offer cum shows if they want to see it, which they never do. I offer shower shows. Mainly what I offer, though, this is the main thing that I do for work, and I have raffles, and I have clubs that people can participate in to make them want to come back. Like, I have a monthly raffle where if they pay me so much, then they get a ticket, and every month there's a raffle drawing where they can win, like, my Kick ID address, which is mobile chatting app, and then my text plus number, because that's an app instead of my actual phone number, so they can text me without me giving out my personal information, and pictures from time to time, but I suck at taking pictures.
Okay.
I never get around to that.
Okay, so Prominently, what's probably the most successful paying thing that you do?
My raffle.
Your raffle. Okay. So you also mentioned you would milk. So what was that?
After I had data, well, before I had data while I was still pregnant, I started lactating early, and I had noticed that a lot of people were into it, and that was a big base of my money. And so I would hand express myself into a bottle, and I would store the milk for whenever I needed it. I offered if anyone was interested to sell my milk, but I never ended up selling it.
Okay. And did you do this also while Beta was born?
After Beta was born, yes. Whenever he would be sleeping, or Mikey would be watching him, I would go and express myself on camera. And then after I was done, I would log off and go feed my son with what I had expressed, and then breastfeed him as well. And then once I was done with that, I would go back and do the same thing.
Would you always save the milk, or?
Not always. Sometimes it was like on a blanket or towel because people asked me to and paid for me to do it somewhere other than a bottle, but I tried to save it every time.
Gotcha. So with Data, or Data, sorry, what was your frequency of feeding you?
Every 3 to 4 hours. I had an alarm on my phone for 3.5, so if I didn't remember by the 3rd hour, then my alarm would go off, and it would remind me if I was in the middle of doing something, I would finish what I was doing and then go feed him. If I wasn't doing anything at the time, I would jump up and go feed him once my alarm was off.
Okay, and what all would you feed him?
I would only feed him breast milk.
Okay. And who was primarily doing the feedings?
I was primarily doing.
Okay. Did Steven help out at all?
A few times. If I was working and I was having a really, really good night with tips, I would express myself into a bottle and then hand it to him and let him feed the baby.
Okay. Did you ever, I guess, other than, you know, manually expressing yourself? Did you have a pump at all?
No, unfortunately I didn't. I have one on my wish list and I was looking to get one, but the really good ones that are medical pumps, they're not like the handheld ones. The medical pumps are like $200 for a full kit. And I didn't have that money to just go and spend, so I was trying to convince the fan to buy it and it never happened.
Okay. So would you ever store the milk, freeze it, or anything?
I froze one bottle before he was born, but then I ended up tossing it out because it went bad before he was born and I didn't trust giving it to him. Mm-hmm. But I stored it inside of the fridge for up to 2 hours at the most. Whenever I was storing milk, it got drinking fast enough.
Okay. How much do you think Data would drink at a time?
I made sure that I expressed at least 3 ounces every time that I fed him, and most of the time he would finish it and want more, but sometimes he would only have about 2 ounces.
Okay. And did he have any issues with latching on?
No, he had no issues latching on.
Okay, and could you tell he was actually getting milk?
Yes, I could, but that's also why I was hand expressing. I wanted to witness how much he was drinking as well as feeling it, because even though it feels like he's getting some, you never know. And so I wanted to make sure that I was doing the best I could for him.
A baby does not starve for 7 weeks in an American town because a system failed. He starves because no system was ever engaged. Nobody struck Data Hancock. Nobody shook him. There are no fractures in this file and no bruises. And that absence gets read as proof this was something less than violence. It was violence. A blow kills in a second and takes one decision. Starving a 7-week-old takes a decision every few hours for 49 days, while the evidence of what these decisions were doing lay in the room getting smaller.
And during, you had an appointment the first, or at 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, they called me because I had explained to them we live 50 miles away, and so it would probably be easier if they called me. And so they called me, and we scheduled an appointment after they had that first checkup. And when his appointment started getting closer, I was looking for a ride, and I finally found one, and then the next day, the lady canceled on me. And so I ended up calling his doctor 2 days before he passed, and explained to them that I didn't have a ride, I was trying, but I might not be able to make it to his appointment. And they said that that was fine, they would take him off the schedule, and if we show up, we could do a walk-in appointment.
And so what happened with the very first one?
The very first one, they called me, they asked me how he was doing, they asked me how much he was eating, they asked me how I was feeling, and then that was basically.
But you didn't show up to the appointment, right?
No, they only had a phone call appointment.
And when you would do the lactation shows, how much do you think you would lactate?
2 to 4 ounces, depending on how long that was on.
Okay. So at any time during the almost 7 weeks that you had data, did you ever stop producing milk at all? No. So your ducts never got clogged to where?
Not fully, no.
No, but you were still able to produce milk.
Yeah.
And no non-infection that you had?
No.
Okay. So why didn't you tell us last time that you did have an infection and that your milk ducts were clogged and that there was a period of about 3 weeks that you were not able to produce milk?
I said I was not able to produce milk as quickly. And I said I was scared that I had an infection. I didn't say that I had one because I did not have one to my knowledge. I was scared, yes.
I'm not going to argue with you, but no, that is what you said.
The 49 days ran through the darkest stretch of a southern Oregon winter. Early December to late January is the bottom of the year. The rain more or less continuous. The daylight down to 9 hours. The house would have been closed up against it. And whatever happened inside happened in artificial light, in rooms nobody else entered. Starvation is slow work. An adult can go a long time without food because the body is built for scarcity and will spend fat before it spends anything it needs. A newborn has almost none of that. A 7-week-old is metabolically the most exposed human being there is, running a body that doubles its birth week inside 6 months. With reserves measured in days, the margin that carries a grown man through a hard winter does not exist in a child that size. The body spends its sugar first. Glycogen is the quick fuel stored in the liver, and an adult carries about a day of it. An infant carries a few hours. Once that is gone, the body turns to fat, and a seven-week-old has very little. Infant fat serves as an insulation and brain material, laid down for a body that expects to be fed rather than stored against hard times. When the fat is spent, the body begins eating itself. It breaks down muscle protein and converts it to glucose, because the brain must have glucose and will be served before anything else. An infant's brain claims something close to 60% of his total energy, so everything else in him is fed to it. The thighs go, the buttocks go, the muscles between the ribs go, which is why a starving infant's breathing becomes shallow and quick. And the heart goes, because the heart is muscle, and the body does not exempt it. The walls thin, and the chamber loses mass. The organ that has to keep working is disassembled to fuel the organ that has to keep thinking, and a heart in that condition can simply stop. Everything else fails alongside it. Body temperature falls because there is nothing left to burn for warmth, and a starving infant goes cold in a warm room. Blood sugar crashes, and hypoglycemia in an infant brings seizures and then unconsciousness. The thymus, the gland that trains a newborn's immune cells, withers to a fraction of its size. Medicine calls that a nutritional thymectomy, because starvation performs the operation without a knife. The lining of the intestine flattens as the body cannibalizes it, so past a certain point, feeding him would no longer have been enough. One number governs an infant's first month, and it is the reason pediatric visits are scheduled so tightly. A newborn is expected to be back at birth weight by around 2 weeks, and after that, to add roughly an ounce a day. Over 7 weeks, a healthy boy would gain 2 to 3 pounds, which, on a body that small, is a visible transformation. The cheeks fill, the thighs crease, the whole child changes silhouette inside a month. A starving infant runs that film backwards. The direction of travel over Data's 49 days was subtraction, on a frame that had almost nothing to subtract from, during the precise weeks when every ounce should have been going the other way.
Didn't you also give him water?
In water, yeah.
How much water how often did you give him water?
Water, I give him water after every 2 feedings. I give him about 2 ounces every time, sometimes 3.
So prior to Data's death, was there anything that you noticed that was different about him?
The day before he passed, he started acting a little bit weirder than usual. He was a lot more quiet during the day. Like, he was a loud, happy baby, not like fussy, but he was loud about things. And the day before he passed, he was really quiet, which made me curious. And me and Mikey had decided that if he was the same the next day, that we were going to end up calling the hospital, because it kind of worried us. It's not usual for a baby to be loud and active and then 1 second just want to lay there and stare at the walls. Mm-hmm. And that's how it was the whole full day before he passed away, was he just wanted to lay there and stare at things. He barely made any noises, and it really worried me.
Okay.
Listener, most of us picked a bank at 16 and never looked back. That's where Chime comes in. Chime is changing the way people bank. They're not like traditional old banks that charge fees and gatekeep perks and rewards. Chime offers the most rewarding, fee-free banking, all with no overdraft fees, no monthly fees, no minimum balance fees. You get 5% cash back on a Chime card in a category of choice, like gas or groceries, all while building credit through everyday spending with no credit check. Your savings rate is 9 times the national average. And if you're ever in a pinch, SpotMe lets you overdraft up to $200 fee-free. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free. Head to chime.com/obscura. That is chime.com/obscura. Sign up now. It only takes a few minutes. Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services and Chime card provided by Chime's bank partners. Qualifying direct deposits required. Terms and limits apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. It's 8 at night. I've been buried in an edit since morning. And I finally look up and realize nobody has thought about dinner. Nothing thawed. No plan. That stopped happening once my freezer had Omaha steaks in it. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, seafood, chicken, and sides delivered straight to my door. It's like having a trusted butcher and a gourmet food shop at home. And no more gambling on unknown brands. Omaha Steaks has earned its reputation over 100 years. The same beef trusted in kitchens across the country, shipped frozen and ready to grill, sear, or roast. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. And your family will think dinner took hours. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. Five distinct cuts, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Where are you then? Why didn't he call me?
We discussed because there was no, like, he wasn't, like, fully shut down. It wasn't like he had given up on the world. It was just that he was content with everything. That's what it seemed like. But it worried me because it was different. But he was really happily content. He just laid there and smiled and kind of looked at us and would make a few noises, but not the same noises he was used to. And so we talked about it, and we both agreed that we might not want to jump the gun, but if he's acting the same, we might want to call the doctor the next morning. And so we went through that night, and then in the morning he ended up
passing. How is that jumping the gun? But I mean, if there was a drastic change like that, I mean, from him being this happy, lively baby to bam, you know, he's like a complete different baby. I mean,
it worried me. I don't know exactly what I should have done in that situation because I've never experienced it. I might have, should have called, I don't know, but under my impression, he was still healthy and he was still happy, and that's usually what you look for a baby. As long as they're happy and they're healthy, then they're okay. Mm-hmm. And so I checked his ears, I checked his eyes, I snapped my fingers to make sure he heard me. I did all the checkup things that the doctor told me, and he responded just fine, so I figured maybe he was just changing.
Mm-hmm. So once QR data passed, then how long was it before you started working again?
That night I logged on to talk to my fans because I'm a real person with my fans. They know almost everything about my life. Mm-hmm. And so I logged on to cry to them about everything that was going on. But I didn't full on start working until 3-4 days later, but it wasn't really working. It was more logging on my cam, waiting a few hours, not really paying attention to anyone, and logging off. It just started becoming worse again.
Okay. How long after data pass was it before you know, posted new photos or a video or anything like that?
I don't really post full on new photos. I might have posted a picture of my tits the next day because someone asked for it, but I barely take pictures or videos. Very rare that I do. But mainly face photos that I post online. I'll find photos from back in the day that I'll post every once in a while, but I haven't taken any new content up until like last week.
The photos or any photos or videos that you took of yourself lactating or expressing yourself, were they done before or after Dado was born?
After.
Okay. And where are them stored at?
There's some files on Extra Lunch Money. I got past the paid to get those. And then my Google Plus cloud, I believe, has all of my photos on it. I haven't gone through it because there's pictures of data and I'm not ready to.
Okay.
Over 49 days on Willis Avenue, the diapers coming off Data Hancock would have been dry, day after day, in a house where two adults were changing him. The quiet is what carried the 7 weeks on Willis Avenue. A baby who has been hungry long enough stops crying, because crying costs calories the body cannot spend. The quiet is the body triaging, shutting down a demand it can no longer fund. A silent baby reads as a settled baby. And in starvation, that reading is inverted, and all of it is visible. A child starving over 7 weeks does not look like a child who was fine yesterday. A parent lifting him a dozen times a day feels the weight going out of him, and anyone notices a bag of groceries getting lighter between the car and the door. Stephen Williams said as much to the detectives. He told them he thought the baby had lost some weight. He was right. He looked at his son, correctly identified what was happening to him, and did nothing about it. He explained why, in a phrase the state of Oregon wrote into a charging document. He did not call a doctor, he said, because that was Amanda's responsibility. This was the agreement they had made.
All right, so like I said earlier, we have some preliminary results regarding the autopsy. And preliminary just means basically we haven't got all the labs and blood work yet, but the state medical examiner has, you know, did the autopsy and, you know, basically made their determination based on the autopsy. So there's a lot of things that you told me today regarding the feedings, regarding the diaper use, the number of wet diapers, the number of poopy diapers, and things that kind of led up to January 22nd, that based on the scientific portion of it and the, I guess not necessarily scientific portion, but the medical portion of it, that I believe to be inaccurate, okay? And the reason being is the cause of death for Data was basically he starved to death. Okay? And the medical examiner and the chief, I don't know if he's a chief, but he's a doctor at Dornbecker, can prove that based on the autopsy and what Data looked like when he passed away.
Okay, I asked for my son to be preserved because I wanted a second medical examiner. And then that request never got passed me. My attorney requested for that. And now we have the remains of my son. And I wish that I could have a second examiner because I didn't starve my son.
Well, you did. And here's why. Okay, your son had zero fat on him. Zero. He weighed approximately, what was it, 7-8 ounces less from the time he was born until he passed away. Once he got to the medical examiner's office, I may have the weight broke down here, but I know when the deputy ME weighed him, after the fact, he weighed 5.7 ounces. Okay, when Dada was born, he weighed 5.12 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
When she weighed him, she being the state medical examiner, weighed him at autopsy, he weighed 5.3 ounces, which is 0.9 ounces less than, or basically 9 ounces less than what he weighed when he was born.
What he was eating?
Well, he wasn't eating enough. Okay, he had nothing whatsoever.
Could there have been just no nutrients in my milk?
I've had your milk tested. Okay, there was no parasites, no nothing in your milk. Your white blood cell count was perfect. So there was nothing going on.
You weren't getting anything. Well, it makes no sense to me. I was feeding my baby. I made sure I had an alarm on my phone even.
There was nothing inside his intestines when the autopsy was done.
What? That doesn't make any sense. I see him all the time.
Here's what I think was going on. You may have thought you were feeding, and maybe he was getting some milk, but for the fact that you were using your milk to make money off of...
I didn't sell it, so I also...
No, no, but you didn't sell it, but you were using your milk self... whatever you're lactating, basically, to make money on camera. And you even said you wasted some of the milk by squirting it on a towel or a blanket or whatever.
I figured why not make money for something I had to do anyways. You have to milk yourself when you're breastfeeding.
You're right, but what is that? You're producing the milk for what?
I was producing the milk for him. I was just getting paid for it because I could.
You're basically wasting his food. That obviously...
I would give him the milk that I would produce into the bottle. From time to time, I would do it on a blanket or towel, but not all the time.
Okay, when we went there, we found no milk in bottles, no nothing. We found water. And even, I mean, you can argue with me on this point, but your exact words at the hospital while you were pumping to Detective Brigo was that you had not produced milk for the last 3 weeks, and it just started coming back within within the last 3 days. Yeah.
No.
And then you're making videos, you're taking photos of you lactating to sell that for money.
So then I can pay my bills.
But again, that milk is for data. It's
and
not.
I gave it mostly to him, except for like a few drips every once in a while when people ask me to on a freaking blanket or towel.
But how do I know that? Because I know what the autopsy says on your son. I know the autopsy says that your son starved to death. Okay? You didn't. You didn't feed him enough. I mean, his muscles, he had already started, like, his muscles had started deteriorating because that's what he was feeding off of. Because he had nothing in his system to eat. I understand.
He seemed satisfied with what I was giving him. Like, that... He seems completely satisfied. He never asked for more.
Well, with talking to the doctors, this him starving to death doesn't happen overnight. So it was for a long period of time that he wasn't eating. And the day before he passed, when he wasn't acting right, he was giving up. And then the next day, that's when he passed away. I mean, you can't sit here and look at the picture when he was born to the picture that when he was passed away and look at that baby and see that that's the same baby. You can't look at that. I mean, if I need to print one of each off and bring it to you and show you, and just for you to look at the difference for when he was born, healthy, happy-go-lucky baby, to when he's laying in the back of the ambulance and passing away. You can't say that's the same baby. You can't say he was getting fed enough. Just by looking at
him. I was feeding him as much as I could.
But looking at him, you can't sit here and tell me that. Am I wrong?
I was feeding him as much as I could.
I hear you, but answer my question. Am I wrong? Did that look like the same baby when he was born?
Of course not. He was dead in the last picture.
Take the dead aside. I'm talking about the same structure. Him looking the same healthy. You can't say that.
I didn't see that he was undernutritious. Like, I didn't see it. I didn't.
Do you want me to show you the picture of what he looked like?
Thursday, January 22nd, 2015, ran in Glendale the same as the days before it. Wet and dark and slow to lighten, the light gone again by 4:30, the night the baby stopped breathing. What the neighbors experienced was a young woman at the door in the dark. One of them told a local reporter afterward that the girl came running over, banged on the door, and started screaming that her baby was not breathing. Whatever else can be said about Amanda Hancock, that is what she did when she found him. She ran to a stranger's house and screamed. It was the fastest she had moved on his behalf in 49 days. Douglas County Emergency Communications took the call. An ambulance and a sheriff's deputy were dispatched to the 800 block of Willis Avenue. and somebody began CPR on a 7-week-old boy in a rented house in a timber town. It did not work, and it could not have. The medics found the infant unresponsive to treatment, and he was declared dead at the scene, in the house he had lived his entire life in, all 49 days of it. The people compressing his chest were performing a ritual on a body that had been failing for weeks in front of two adults. For the emergency crews at that hour, this was a dead infant of unknown cause. Babies are found not breathing in this country every day of the year, in loving houses, for reasons nobody can control. The first assumption on that scene was almost certainly the merciful one. Deputies do not walk into a house on Willis Avenue in January, expecting to find what they found. The body went north to the state medical examiner's office in Portland, and there the merciful assumption ended. The autopsy found that the child had starved to death. Starvation writes itself into a body in ways a pathologist can read directly. The fat that should cushion an infant's organs is gone, including the last reserves a body surrenders. And a medical examiner does not reach starvation quickly, listener, because the differentials matter. Metabolic disorders can prevent a fed infant from thriving, and so can cardiac defects, and a dozen rare conditions that leave a baby wasting in a house where the parents did everything right. Those had to be excluded first. The Oregon State Medical Examiner's Office excluded them. The investigation that followed was no whodunit. There was no mystery about who had been responsible for the boy. Only the question of what the adults had known and what they had done. It took a month. The county medical examiner and the sheriff's detectives worked it jointly through the back half of winter. And during that month, Amanda Hancock and Stephen Williams went on living on Willis Avenue with their 2-year-old in a town that was raising money for them. Then the detectives went and asked them. In February of 2015, Amanda Hancock and Stephen Williams sat down separately with detectives from Douglas County Sheriff's Office and built a record that convicted them. They were not hostile. They did not lawyer up and go silent. They answered at length, and what they produced was a portrait of a household in which the care of an infant had been assigned, discussed, and then simply not performed. Amanda Hancock told investigators that she self-lactated for money. The milk existed. It was produced on a schedule, in quantities sufficient to sustain a paying subscription, and by her own statement, it was directed deliberately, as something that was not the vessel used to feed her son. The distance between the milk and the baby was a matter of feet and a matter of choice. She described that choice herself to police without any sign that she understood what she had handed them. They both said they had fed him multiple ounces of milk multiple times a day, and Williams gave the detectives a sentence that has followed the file ever since. He had noticed the weight loss. He had not called a doctor because calling the doctor was Amanda's job. That was the agreement they had made. Most of the coverage treated that as a monstrous thing to say. It is worse than monstrous. It's bureaucratic. It is the language of a man describing a division of labor, the tone used to explain who handles the trash and who handles the recycling, applied to the survival of a 7-week-old. He believed he was explaining rather than confessing. Prosecutors charged both with murder by abuse, alleging extreme indifference to human life and causing Data's death through neglect and maltreatment. They added first-degree criminal mistreatment and 4 counts of endangering the welfare of a minor. The arrest came on the 7th of February at the house on Willis Avenue, 26 days after the death. Booking photographs were released by the sheriff's office that day, and they ran on every wire story in the country by Thursday. The next day, both appeared in Douglas County Circuit Court in Roseburg before Judge Stephen Titkin, who denied them bail and authorized court-appointed counsel. Neither entered a plea. Deputy District Attorney Shannon Sullivan declined to say anything further. A grand jury would hear the charges the following week. The 2-year-old brother was taken into protective custody. He had shared those 49 days with Data in the same room under the same arrangement. He is the only person in these pages who survived the household, and he is owed the anonymity of an ordinary childhood. For 26 days between the 22nd of January and the 17th of February, Glendale believed a different story. What the town understood was that a young couple who had recently moved in had lost a newborn. That is all anyone knew. In a town of 800 and some people, in a county with a child poverty rate near 30%, closed around the family and began paying for things. Neighbors came forward with money. A Southern Oregon community forum noted afterward that Glendale people had covered the couple's water and sewage bill so they would not have to worry while they buried their son. Online condolences came from strangers. Friends who had known them in California posted prayers and offers of help. Brittany England, who said she had known Williams her whole life, described him publicly as one of the most caring people she knew. The town did nothing wrong here, just to make that clear. Every one of those people acted correctly on the information available. A baby had died, and the parents were poor, and paying a utility bill for a grieving family is one of the more decent things in this story. And during those same 26 days, Amanda Hancock continued raising money, using the milk her son would never taste again. Then, on the 18th of February, the arrest hit the wire. The Associated Press moved a story with the word starvation and pornography in the same sentence, and it went national inside a day. The tabloid coverage that followed cared almost exclusively about the camera, ran the word fetish in its headlines, treated the child as the hook. The coverage got the proportions backwards. Plenty of people sell what Amanda Hancock sold. Almost none of them let their baby starve in the next room. Pornography is context. The starvation is what mattered. The state got its conviction. The county was spared a trial, and the record of what happened on Willis Avenue closed at the level of an affidavit in a plea form. Stephen Williams pleaded not guilty in March of 2015 to murder, first-degree criminal mistreatment, and the four endangerment counts. As of the reporting around Hancock's conviction in June of 2016, he was scheduled for his own jury trial in April of 2017. What happened at the end of that road is not in the accessible public record. The Roseburg paper that covered the case through 2016 left no widely available report of his disposition. Under Oregon's Measure 11 law, his specific charge carries a mandatory minimum sentence of 25 years to life in prison. Amanda Hancock served 10 years in the Oregon Department of Corrections. She was scheduled for release in February of 2025. She went in at 23. She came out at 33. Her body never stopped. Amanda Hancock's milk did not dry up. For 49 days, her body did precisely the work it is built to do, generating the exact substance her son required. It was the one thing she could give him that nobody else could. And every day she pointed it somewhere else, the mechanism was crueler still. A starving infant stops crying, so even the reflex that would have called for the milk went quiet in that house. Subscribers paid to watch that milk, reliably enough that it was the household's income right through the 7 weeks and even after. Their son was the one customer who could not pay and could not leave and could not complain. Do not let the word neglect soften it, listener. Neglect suggests absence. This was a daily act. In Glendale, the rain comes back every November, blackening the fir at the ridges above a town that lost its mill and kept its people. Somewhere under that weather is a small grave paid for by photographs and videos. The first food a human being is offered is by his mother. Data Hancock's substance was offered to a market instead.